So, anyway, now remember, we are mic'd downstairs also. So whatever comes out here, be very careful. This goes online. We got new responsibilities we didn't used to have, okay? So today is Mother's Day. And I think what we'd like to do and what we always do here is we acknowledge the reality that we actually live in. And for some people, that is a very wonderful thing, and for some other people, it's very bittersweet. For other people, it's very sad, and for other people, it brings up a lot of anger, okay? So there's a lot of different experiences we've had in this human condition, in this human world, of what it is like to have come from somebody else, and not everybody is on board with a good memory, and so we acknowledge that. But what we want to do is actually push past that definition of mother today and go deeper. And go deeper to the divine energy. To go deeper to our source, our true parentage. To just really get into that experience. And Meister Eckhart was very good at that. He was a mystic. He was considered a Christian by the Christians, but he was a mystic, and he died in 1328. But he was condemned by the current pope at that time because of what he said and what he taught, because he was very universal. And one of the things that he said that probably got him a lot of trouble was, what does God do all day long? God lays in a maternity bed and gives birth. So he was pointing toward a feminine energy, a creative energy, and calling God something feminine. And if you ever want to explore somebody, I recommend you explore his writings and just even read his quotes. And you'll find that he was very universal. To the point that the Buddhists consider him to be a Buddhist, and the Sufis, a Sufi. The Muslims, a Muslim. The Christians, not so much. because he wasn't accepted. His teachings weren't accepted. It's what we would call today New Age, which always cracks me up. People go, I'm in New Age, I'm in New Thought, as if it just happened like the last 100 years, okay? But when you read this, you understand truth is truth, and people who understood the truth knew it was universal all along. They never bought into the God in a box. They never bought into a religion, a set of dogma. Because whatever this was, they had to be open to a new definition of it rolling out and being birthed all the time. So when you look at this definition of God, it means that everything has come through this source and that it is completely creating all the time and regenerating and making something else. And we are part of that because we use that creative energy. It's our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs that are being pushed out into the world. And when we remember what miracles we are, and when we remember why we came here, that we came into an old way of thinking and believing and becoming discouraged or disappointed by it, and finding that we were losing our voice when we tried to live in those stories. And that gaining our voice meant, I want to experience whatever this is that's behind all the stories. I want to know that I can trust that that, whatever it is, actually loves me and is supporting me and is always there for me. And when we do trust that, when we do find our ears again, those inner ears that Jesus, the mystic, not the Catholic, not the Christian, Jesus the mystic talked about. When you have ears, you will hear. And when you have eyes, you will see. You need to be fitted with those beyond the physical. You need to listen deeply. And I think all of us, when we're in a time of distress, we go very deep. And all of a sudden we start to say, maybe there's something about our distress that our personality is calling negative that is actually a doorway into dropping beneath all the stories we've been taught. And maybe that distress makes us reach out to something that nobody else can define for us. And to hear a voice that comforts us. A voice that says, you're doing it all right. It's all unfolding. Don't be so hard on yourself. It's easy to get lost in the humanity. It's easy to get lost in the stories of the personality. But just remember, that's not who and what you really are. And that's not who and what anybody else really is. And know that I am here for you always. That I am the great corrector. That you can always go within and be comforted. That you're loved for your humanness. You're loved for all the mistakes that you make, because it means you're trying, you're living, you're experiencing this experience that you signed up for. And as you find your own voice, and no matter what anybody else says or thinks or feels, you know what is right, because it will be right for all and it will be all-inclusive. And you can feel the comfort in that. And it may be unpopular with some others. But once you know it, you can't move off of it. It energizes you. It softens your heart. It makes you not so worried about what everybody else is doing. You've latched on to something that is not moved by the world, and you begin living through something that moves the world. That your one thought about it, your one acceptance of all as that creative energy, that loving energy, is enough to move the world in a new direction. When we hold on to our stories of our physical origin, we have so many different stories. When we go within and you read the mystics all throughout time, you'll find that they were met by the same voice, the same love, that it never moved and it was never conditional. I know for a long time I lived in the story of what my mom should have done differently. And then when I remember she had 9 children, and the first one at 16 or 15, I believe, was when she became pregnant, I thought, when did she learn to become a good mother? When she watched her father beat her own mother and then leave them and then come back after 6 months or a year and leave them with no food and no money, where did she learn to nurture? I started catching on to the fact that maybe I was to mother her. That took me to like age 40 to get that. And I remember thinking, she has never once said, I love you. And then I remembered, I have never once said, I love you. And I thought, one of us is going to break this stalemate. And it may not be pretty. She may be so cold, like she's always been. She may be so hard. But I was not going to let her die and leave this world without me saying it to her. She wasn't going to get that on me. I was never going to have regrets or guilt about that. I was going to do it. And when I did, she melted. Because nobody had done it. They were all too afraid to approach the iceberg. They were all too afraid. And she hugged me and she said, "I love you too, baby." Sometimes I think we get it confused as to who is the child and who is the mother, because we go with the definitions given us. And we also get confused about who is the mother and who is the child in our own lives. We think it has to be biological. And it's not. It's the world. We are to receive the love and nurture ourselves first, and then give that away to others. And instead of it being diminished, it's increased. When the personality is confused about it, when it's been harmed, it's afraid if it gives love that they will lose something in the process, because it's a conditional love. And I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And I know that in this moment, you know that there's a voice within you that says, everybody is doing everything just right. You come into an old story that needs to be healed. Don't you remember that's why you came here? You came into an old story where others have lost their voice. You all, male and female, lost the feminine voice. All those before us lost it. And during this time, everybody is beginning to find their voice. And one speaks out and others go, "Oh my gosh, I'm not alone." And another one speaks out about something else and, "Oh my gosh, I'm not alone." And they feel so loved and so nurtured because all the individual did was speak their truth. All they did was become authentic. All they did was break a silence. All they did was move beyond fear of what will others think of me. Two, I don't need their approval. I just need to be who and what I am. I was talking to a doctor last week, and she's so excited about what she does. And she said, my husband and I are just not into religion. She goes, "Because you're a minister, so I understand." I said, "No, I'm not that kind of minister." I want to assure you, I'm not that kind of minister. I said, "We're not attached to any dogma. We believe our life is our religion, and that it's ours. And it doesn't have to look like anybody else's. It's the one that has the sacred writing on it that is only for us, but that moves the entire world." And that writing is written by love. And as Teilhard says, we have yet to discover the power that is behind that. And in my own life, and I've shared this before, I've found that if I found something I was passionate about or something that energized me and excited me, I would say, "I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I would love to go there. I would love to do that. I would love to teach that. I would love to do this or that. I would love to try being an event designer. I would love..." Every time I said it, I ended up doing it. I was connecting with a power. I would kind of like to, but I don't know. No, it was like nobody else knew about it either. It was an internal conversation. It was the only conversation I needed to have. A lot of us talk a lot about what we want to do, but we never really took it in ourselves. And we're afraid to say we would love it. But you'll notice in your own body, if you say to yourself in this moment something you would just love to do, you will feel yourself open up. And now go back and say the same thing, I would like to do it. Isn't that amazing that we didn't understand the word had power? Did we not know that Christ actually means logos, word? The word love has tremendous power. The energy of love is what we are powered by. And when we feel like it's conditional and it's relying on somebody else, we can feel diminished just like that. But when we get into the true energy of love, nothing changes it ever. And the wonderful thing about researching the mystics, all of them, you will see the message is the same. People say that all the time. Gosh, you know what you said? Did you ever study such and such? Did you ever study? And it's like, I've studied so little. It's scary. It really is. And John McAnulty said that before. Somebody will raise their hand after he's done a Rumi reading or the Sufis or doing something, and they'll ask him a question. He goes, you know, honestly, I don't know that much about it. But the person who's asking the question has studied all of it. And it's very interesting because this is not something you need to study. That's only going to give you affirmation of what you already know. And the receive this is because, as we talked about, it resonates with us. So today, I would like to suggest that we balance the energy of only a Father God and embrace what is within all of us, the divine feminine, the love, the nurturing, the support. Bring it in and take it in for ourselves. Thank you very much.